This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a very pleasant good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And last night at Lone Depot Park in Miami, the Marlins returned back home to open up a four-game set against the visiting San Diego Padres. It was a bullpen night for the Marlins. Anthony Bender went opposite of the veteran left-hander Blake Snell. Marlins looking for their second consecutive victory. Well, back here at Lone Depot Park tonight, where the Marlins have returned back home for a brief four-game homestand against the visiting San Diego Padres. And unfortunately, they could not pack much of a punch in the opener against the Friars this evening. Both teams arrived in Miami in the wee hours this morning after late arrivals from their proper destinations last night. The Marlins were coming off an extra innings victory against the Nationals, but they could not parlay that into a victory here in the opener against the Padres this evening. Bullpen night for the Marlins of sorts. Anthony Bender versus Blake Snell in the opener tonight. Bender worked a scoreless first, then gave way to Jordan Holloway, who was recalled today. And the Padres jumped out to an early lead in the second. Eric Hosmer walked, went to second on a pass ball, advanced to third on a wild pitch, and he was stationed there with one out, runners on the corners in the second for Jivrix and Profar.
Pitch is chopped toward first, up with it, Aguilar. Down to second, they get one. Back to first base. It is not in time. Aguilar was off the bag by the time he got his foot back on the bag. Profar was safe at first base, and a run scores. It is 1-0 San Diego.
And that run was unearned in the second, but nonetheless an early 1-0 lead. The Padres got another in the fourth after a one-out single by Tommy Pham, along with a ground out and a walk. Profar again came to bat, this time with runners on first and second with an out in the inning.
Here's a 1-1, and it's popped softly off the fists out into center field. Coming around third is Pham. He's going to score. The throw up the line, and it's 2-0 San Diego on a bloop single by Profar, who muscled the ball into center to drive in a run, his 22nd run batted in. And again, 2-0 San Diego here in the fourth.
Well, I suppose Jivrix and Profar is happy to be in Miami. He finished his night 3-for-4 at the plate, had a real nice night. Holloway worked 3 2/3 innings tonight, and the Padres got him for one more in the fifth inning. After a leadoff walk to Fernando Tatis Jr. and a steal of second base. And by the way, this note from tonight's contest now. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, Tatis became the fastest player by games to reach 50 career home runs and 50 career stolen bases since 1898, when modern steal rules were adopted. Tatis accomplished that feat with his steal of second in the fifth. So anyway, he's the face of baseball, and he was on third in the fifth inning with one out for Manny Machado.
Here's the pitch. A swing here and a ball drilled out toward left center. Moving over as Brinson makes the catch. Tagging at third is Tatis. He'll score 3-0 San Diego.
Well, Holloway saw one more batter, and that would be all for the rookie right-hander tonight. After that, relatively quiet. Unfortunately, a little too quiet for the Marlins. At one point, Blake Snell had retired 9 in a row and 14 of 16. Now, offensively, the Marlins finally broke through, and they knocked Snell out in the 7th inning. Austin Adams relieved Snell after a leadoff 7th inning double by the pinch hitter Isan Diaz. Diaz advanced to 3rd on a wild pitch, and he was immediately he advanced to third. John Birdie was then hit in the head after the wild pitch. The second pitch that Birdie saw hit him square in the back of the head. It was a hard fastball up and in by Adams. It knocked Birdie out of the game, and I'm sure we'll have more word on his condition when we check in with Donnie coming up in just a couple of minutes. John Curtis pinch ran at first. Lewis Brinson struck out, and there were runners on the corners with one out in the seventh inning for Joe Panik.
Padre right-hander delivers, and the ball is fisted out toward left center, and that's going to get down for a hit and a run batted in. The Marlins are on the scoreboard. It's a 3-1 game.
Boy, Marlins finally able to break through after the panic RBI single. Sandy Leon flew out to right for the second out of the inning, but then Miguel Rojas put together a fantastic at-bat. He drew a walk, and that loaded him up with two outs for Starling Marte.
3-0. Outside ball four. He walked in a run. It's a 3-2 game, and the bases are still loaded.
Boy, I'll tell you, RBIs don't come any easier, especially when you don't have to take the bat off your shoulders. A four-pitch walk, the Marlins were within one, and Padres manager Jace Tingler had seen enough. He summoned Emilio Pagan in from the bullpen with the bases loaded and two outs, and he was scheduled to face Jesus Aguilar.
He nods yes to Austin Nola, the catcher. Comes set at the belt, and the 3-1 to Aguilar. A swing here and a ball hit in the air out toward right center. Coming on is a right fielder, Will Myers. He's got it, and the inning is over.
And the side was retired. Pagan ends the threat and preserves the San Diego 3-2 lead. Anthony Bass got the eighth for the Marlins and immediately got in a bit of a pickle. Jurickson Profar singled the lead off the inning. Will Myers doubled. Trent Grisham flew out to right, too shallow for anybody to advance. And so Bass had himself an out, but then he had to tangle with Fernando Tatis Jr. But Tatis was no match for the hard-throwing right-hander. Bass struck him out with a slider, and Anthony Bass was one out away from escaping that inning. Remember, Marlins down one, second and third, nobody out. Bass gets two monster outs. He, however, did not get a chance to finish the inning. Donnie came out, got Bass, inserted Stephen Okert, and he got Jake Cronenworth, the Padres' second baseman, to fly out to right field to end the threat. The Padres retired the Marlins in order in the eighth inning. We were on our way to the ninth in a 3-2 game. David Hess worked around a double and a walk in the ninth. The Marlins were down to their final three outs offensively against one of the better closers in baseball, Mark Melancon, this evening. Brinson struck out looking. Panic stung a ball, but right at Will Myers in right field. And down to their final out, it was up to Sandy Leon to try to keep things going. But Sandy grounded out softly to first, and the Padres take game one of this four-game series, 3-2 tonight. Totals on this ball game this evening for San Diego, 3 runs, 7 hits, no errors. For the Marlins, 2 runs, 4 hits, 1 error. The winner in this ball game tonight was Blake Snell. He is now 4-3 this season. The Holloway, who started the ball game for Miami, Jordan Holloway, now 2 wins and 3 losses. And Mark Melancon collects his 29th save of the season for the San Diego Padres. With a win, the Padres are now 57-42. They will keep pace in some capacity in the National League West tonight. We'll get a look at the scoreboard shortly. They're hoping for a Dodgers win. They wouldn't make up any ground on the second-place Dodgers, but they would if the Dodgers can beat the Giants. They'll make up a little ground on first place in the National League West. Coming into this ballgame tonight, the Padres 5.5 games behind the National League West leading San Francisco Giants. With the 3-2 loss tonight, the Marlins come back home. They fall back to 15 under at 41-56. So again, Snell the winner, Holloway the loser. Melancon collects his 29th save of the season. The Padres left 14 men on base tonight. They were just 2-for-13 with the runners in scoring position. You total all that together, you'd say, dang it, the Marlins have got to find a way to win this ballgame. They left 7 on. They were 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The Marlins tonight used 8 different pitchers to navigate 9 innings. The Padres needed 5. We started at 7:10. A total game time of 3 hours and 58 minutes in front of 10,977 here at Lone Depot Park tonight. With 6 strikeouts for the Marlins pitching staff tonight, $150 have been donated to AutoNation's Drive Pink Initiative to fight against cancer. For every strikeout this season, $25 will be donated to the Drive Pink Initiative. Unfortunate way to end things for the Marlins last night. They fall to the Padres 3-2. Let's hear what Don Mattingly had to say afterwards.
Thanks, Jason. Donnie, just getting the update on Birdie. I know that was obviously a really scary situation. A concussion isn't great, but was it at least encouraging to see him be able to stand up and walk off the field, you know, on his own after how bad that looked?
Obviously, I didn't. Yeah, it's great to see him get up and walk off, that's for sure. The news is not great. Originally I thought it hit him in the back. And then when we got out there, he said it went right under the helmet. Hit him hitting right in the head, and you could see there was a kind of horseshoe shaped, it's like a little ring, and he was bleeding a little bit. But it was good to see him get up, but I was hoping he didn't have a concussion with that, and it was, that wasn't great news. So.
And then just as far as the game goes, obviously for the most part, kept in check, a pretty tough Padres lineup, had a little bit of a rally of your own in that seventh inning. Just what kind of stood out to you overall about this game and the way it played out?
Yeah, I mean, we kept wiggling out of jams, honestly. And it felt like, I don't even know, fifth, sixth in there, it felt like we were, not doing a whole lot, but we were still in the game. And it kind of like we kept ourselves in the game. I thought the relievers did a nice job of wiggling out of jams, not giving up any more runs, and, hoping for that breakthrough, and we finally got it. And just really weren't able to obviously scratch any more after that or get a lot going after that. I thought the relievers did a nice job. We walked a lot of guys tonight. I think we give them a lot of chances that we won't get away with that very often. I think we had 8 or 9 walks and hit batter. So, but overall, I thought we did a nice job of getting out of those jams and giving ourselves a chance. And, then we were able to scratch for those runs as we were able to get that next one.
Jordan?
Yeah, hey, Donnie. With Birdie, how do you go about trying to replace guy looking like you mentioned pregame, just being able to insert him anywhere in the field, just trying to find a player that can help you with that utility role moving forward this while he has the concussion?
Yeah, it's tough to replace that because he kind of serves as, a guy that can go back and kind of stretches your – obviously we've been playing with a little bit short here for a couple of days, but he kind of stretches you where you can go different directions at different spots with doubles to push your pitcher further away. A little harder to do that when you don't have that kind of guy. If you have a guy who just plays outfield, just plays infield. Bird allows you to stretch the field a little bit. We're gonna miss that.
Go to Christina.
Donnie, I guess two nights with a rookie starting pitchers, night or last night, Jordan, after the opener, just can you speak to the opportunities that they have and what you'd like maybe to see for them as they continue, their development and what they could provide to the organization moving forward?
No, I think it's valuable experience for, the guys you mentioned. You got to throw Brax in that category. Thompson's getting that right now. We've seen how valuable that was to Trevor last year. And that's really what you want to see from those guys is just that picking up things. And that doesn't always come out in the result that night, but you want them to just to keep improving and take that experience and move forward, So obviously a number of guys are getting that. A number of different guys have gotten that opportunity. And so some of that's went better than others. Some of it's been good, maybe a step back and then good. But that's kind of the way it goes with that those type of opportunities. But there is value there in some way, shape, or form, even when it doesn't go as well as you'd like.
You mentioned pregame just with Jordan. Maybe sometimes he's like trying, like the next picks he's already on. Like, is that something you saw maybe tonight in terms of his command? Or where do you see it when it – gets away from him, what happens?
Yeah, we just think he gets going a little too fast, in his mind, trying to make pitches and trying to force the ball. And then you see and that just affects the delivery. And then you start seeing the ball spray a little bit more. Breaking ball is not where he wants it. Fastball is running off the plate. Things like that. And that's really just a matter of him staying in control with his body. Part of that is the mind, too, though. The mind works in unison, really, when you get thinking fast and pushing and trying to – usually these guys are not built to slow down. They're built to compete, go forward. And so sometimes you have to back down a little bit to get your result.
Ethan.
Thanks, Jason. Hey, Donnie. You know, Bender's been struggling a little bit recently. Hasn't been the same results we saw early on. So did you kind of see this as a chance for him to build some confidence and then obviously, you know, look pretty good right out of the gate tonight?
Yeah, he's, you know, it's a really like a guy that you see use as an opener when you got to run through Machado and Tatis and these dudes. It's just big stuff, right? First inning. And so it's good for that type of role. Obviously it's good. It can be good for the late innings too. But we did see it as an opportunity for him to get back out there, start the game off, put us in a better position. And so hopefully that does get him back on the right track. And you know, he's had a little bit of bad luck. I mean, he's given up some runs, but during that period, he's also got his outs. Just seems like one pitch has come back to haunt him a little bit more than it was earlier. Situations where he got out of some stuff. But he hasn't been able to get out of it lately. So hopefully it's something that gets him on the right track.
Jeff, San Diego Union Tribune.
Hey, Don. Snell had a lot of trouble in the strike zone, you know, most of the season. What was different about the guy today versus maybe the guy you saw in video the last few starts?
Well, you know, we didn't look at every – I don't look at every start. I know the hitting guys do, but he is a guy that his stuff is obviously we know is really good. And, you know, you're just looking at the numbers and percentages – and you want to force him into the strike zone. And his breaking ball is, you know, good to the point where you don't really hit it. It's like you got to force him to get it over, and hopefully you're not – he's not, right, and you're not chasing. The problem with that is it looks like a strike for a long time. So, obviously, he was more in his own, and I'm not sure about every start, but obviously he was in his zone enough tonight and forced us to swing the bats. We pushed his count up a little bit the first couple of innings, but – he had that quick third, I think, or fourth, where he had like a 8 or 9 pitch inning, and it seemed like he got him on track.
Comes Marlins manager Don Mattingly after the Marlins 3-2 loss to the San Diego Padres in Miami last night. Game 2 of this series comes your way at 7:10 this evening when Zach Thompson opposes the veteran right-hander Joe Musgrove of the Padres. It's a 7:10 first pitch. We're on the air at 6:40 with Marlins on deck. And as always, we hope you find some time to join us on the Marlins Radio Network, driven by AutoNation.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.